WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. New evidence for authorities in eastern Pennsylvania as they hunt for a convicted killer who escaped from prison last week. State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says there are trail camera images from last night showing Danilo Cavalcante.
The photos confirm that Cavalcante has not changed his appearance, but also that he has obtained a backpack, a duffel sling-type pack, and a hooded sweatshirt.
A three-judge federal panel has blocked Alabama's new congressional map after Republican lawmakers failed to create a second district where black voters came close to a majority. Mobile Democrat Barbara Drummond has opposed GOP efforts.
What we want is fair maps that will represent blacks in Alabama.
In Washington, the Capitol physician says Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell's recent health episodes show no evidence of being strokes or seizures. First Lady Jill Biden testing positive for COVID-19. White House correspondent Nancy Cordes.
The First Lady will stay at their home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, as a precaution for now. The president is back here at the White House after spending the weekend with her. He'll have to be tested routinely this week because he's slated to head to India and Vietnam for a pair of summits in just 3 days.
Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows pleaded not guilty today to charges in the Georgia election case. Meadows and lawyers John Eastman and Jeffrey Clark all waived formal arraignment. It's a day in court today for former Trump advisor Peter Navarro.
I'm the first senior White House advisor ever to be charged of this crime.
It's a trial on two misdemeanor counts of contempt of Congress after refusing to testify or provide documents in the Capitol attack investigation. And as we hear from CBS's Scott McFarlane, it's sentencing day for a key January 6th figure who was convicted of seditious conspiracy.
Arguing he deserves 33 years in prison, prosecutors say Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio was a charismatic, savvy propagandist who had influence over countless subordinates. Tarrio wasn't at the Capitol January 6th, having been banned from Washington, D.C. while facing a previous criminal charge. But prosecutors argue he helped orchestrate, organize, and privately claim credit for the assault on the Capitol.
And today in Austin, Texas,
I will impartially try.
Warren Kenneth.
The state Senate's impeachment trial of Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton. The charges are corruption and bribery. Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is down 49 points. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Madison police are on the lookout for whoever beat a woman nearly to death near the city's downtown over the weekend. She's in the hospital with critical condition last we knew. Police are asking anyone with doorbell video to come forward. University of Wisconsin officials still don't know why a pier collapsed on campus into Lake Mendota yesterday. As many as 80 people were on the pier at the time. A couple dozen people were hurt. One person ended up in the hospital. People in Wisconsin may get higher energy bills next year, Stuart J. Waddles explains.
We Energies is proposing another rate hike for its customers in 2024. The utility company is asking the Public Service Commission to approve a rate hike of 3.1% for residential customers. That's double the increase proposed for industrial customers for next year. The request comes after a rate hike of 11.3% in energy prices this year. If approved, the increased energy cost for residential We Energies customers would total nearly 14.5% over 2 years. Consumer advocates say it's wrong for residential customers to pay higher costs than industrial and commercial customers. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
It's the first day of school in much of Wisconsin. Fines may be on their way up for not stopping for a school bus. A bill in the legislature would raise fines as high as $1,000. Right now, the highest fine is $300. The bill would also take 3 driver's license points from anyone found guilty of not stopping for a school bus. The bill got a hearing in committee this morning. Strip searches in schools would be outlawed in Wisconsin under a bill that gets a hearing today, Pete Schwabe reports.
The legislation comes after a controversy ensuing in northeast Wisconsin last year. That's where the school superintendent at the time strip-searched six teenage girls while looking for a vape cartridge. The superintendent was not prosecuted, but she did resign. The community was outraged enough to spur four state lawmakers to respond. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
A state Senate committee is hearing public testimony today on two appointees to the Wisconsin Judicial Commission. The Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety has already grilled several other recent nominees on recusal requirements for Supreme Court justices. Today, Senator Van Wongard asked Commissioner Yolanda Anderson about justices and Wisconsin's open meetings law.
If four of the seven act without telling the other three, are there potential consequences for that?
If there is a complaint filed with the Judicial Commission, that is a matter of discussion with the Judicial Commission. I cannot make a statement as to whether or not we'd be able to act on it unless there is a complaint before our body.
Okay. But if there's a complaint, you guys would look at that, right?
Yes.
Meanwhile, Republicans may be moving to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. They might not remove her from office, but that may not be their goal. J.R. Ross covers state government for WIS Politics.
If you're impeached as a justice or a judge, once you're impeached by the assembly, you can't exercise your powers as a judge or justice until the Senate trial. That would sideline, in theory, Protasiewicz for weeks, maybe months, long enough to get past this window of a new map from the state Supreme Court kicking in for 2024.
Ross spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. Wisconsin State Public Defender is stepping down after 12 years. Kelly Thompson's last day is October 9th. She tells WIS Politics she doesn't have any immediate plans and is exploring what she'll do next. In her resignation letter, she praises policymakers for raising pay for public defenders. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Storm Prediction Center has northwest Wisconsin in a slight risk for severe storms, from Vilas through Chippewa and into Pierce counties and north. The severe threat targets us mainly this evening and surges eastward overnight. Large hail up to the size of golf balls and damaging wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour are possible. There is also a small chance for a tornado to spin up, as well as localized flash flooding. Total precipitation by morning will be around an inch into the Northwoods. Stay weather savvy, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Wisconsin State Patrol will continue conducting aerial patrols across the state highway system this week. Authorities say air patrols will fly over I-39, I-90, and I-94 in Columbia County today, looking for drivers who are speeding or driving aggressively. If an air patrol does spot a driver committing a violation, they will contact an officer on the ground to conduct a traffic stop. Aerial patrols will continue heading north or east over the rest of the week. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is reminding Wisconsin students, teachers, and parents that the Wisconsin Department of Justice's Office of School Safety and all its resources are still available to help keep kids safe this school year. The state reallocated $1.3 million in American Rescue Plan Act funds to extend the Office of School Safety's operations, including the 24-hour tip line, critical incident response teams, and threat assessment consultation. Authorities have released the suspected cause of two drownings on Lipsett Lake in Burnett County on Friday. Two 18-year-olds were found in 15 to 20 feet of water on Friday evening, and both were pronounced dead after life-saving measures failed. The Burnett County Sheriff's Office released a statement citing strong wind and choppy waters as a contributor to the drownings. The incident remains under investigation by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A low pressure system is targeting Wisconsin, and as it moves in from the west, it continues to surge in the heat today. Highs will again soar into the upper 80s and low 90s, with a heat advisory still in effect along the Mississippi River Valley and over southwest and western Wisconsin. Values will strike near 103 degrees under a mix of sun and clouds. Wednesday, strong out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, with dew points tapping the sticky and humid low 70s. All of this will provide fuel for storms to fire up tonight. The Storm Prediction Center has northwest Wisconsin in a slight risk for severe storms, and the rest of the state is at a marginal risk. The severe threats target us after dinner and surges eastward overnight. Large hail up to the size of golf balls and damaging wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour are possible. Have a terrific Tuesday and stay weather savvy, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers reboot against the Pirates. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Pirates face off again tonight at PNC Park, game time 5:35. Brandon Woodruff against Pittsburgh's Andre Jackson. The Brewers lost the series opener last night, 4-2 against the Pirates. After the game, Brewers starting pitcher Corbin Burnes seemed to remember nearly every pitch he gave up. 4 runs on 7 hits, 2 home runs. Over 6 innings, including veteran Andrew McCutchen.
I just think back of the first homer to Sawinski wasn't a bad pitch. He just went out there and hit it. But the double to McCutchen before was a changeup right down the middle. The next inning, they scored 2 runs. The curveball to Reynolds right down the middle. You know, mistake to McCutchen down the line, another slider right down the middle. So it was more about early on, we were really good executing, getting stuff the edges, getting swing and miss, putting hitters away, and got 2 strikes. And then the second time through, we got 2 strikes. We just left pitchers right in the middle of the plate, and they hit them. Veteran hitters and McCutchen and Reynolds aren't going to miss those. That was really the only difference is we were still getting the 2 strikes quick. We just were leaving the 2 strike pitches, breaking balls, change up just right in the middle.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell on Burnes' performance.
I mean, I thought he came out, you know, throwing the ball great. I thought it was really, really good. The mistakes he made, they did damage on his mistakes. So it was extra base hits, obviously a couple homers, and you know, that's putting runs on the board quick. So that's what hurt him tonight.
And the Brewers' Freddy Peralta named National League Pitcher of the Month. Peralta on what made the difference for him in August.
I think for me, it's more like the way that I've been taking care of like myself and the situation that I've been in, that I can handle all those situations. It's awesome, and I've been feeling great and excited for see what's coming for us and for me.
College football, Duke stuns number 9th ranked Clemson last night, 28-7. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell is not happy with Air Force after they denied defensive back Michael Mack's request to transfer to Wisconsin, now under appeal.
I'm going to kind of hold my tongue to say anything about the Air Force Academy and how they've treated the kid, but we'll wait on what the NCAA, it's in their hands, and so kind of leave it at that.
Fickell on his subdued mood after Wisconsin beat Buffalo Saturday in the season opener.
I probably wasn't as fired up as maybe I needed to be. Deep down inside, I just felt like we were sloppy. It's hard to be really, really excited when you just don't play the way, you know, and some things that we had put a great emphasis on. And it's awesome because it gives us an opportunity to kind of come back here this second week and this entire, you know, practice opportunities to really kind of focus ourselves back in and to recognize the things that we didn't do as well.
NFL, the Packers getting ready for their first game Sunday in Chicago. The Bears with several former Packers, including tight ends Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, and coach Luke Getsy, now the offensive coordinator, Kenny Clark.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, man. You know, Sadie's there, Rob there. It's definitely going to be, you know, fun going against those guys, and it's an exciting time. You know, every year, you know, teams change, a lot of new faces, a lot of new energy. It's a big game.
That's Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
Well, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
We have one more hot, sticky day to go before things really cool down tomorrow. Today, partly cloudy, 92 our high this afternoon, and then we do have a chance of thunderstorms late this afternoon into tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Our low tonight, 65. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, an isolated thunderstorm in the morning. Much cooler with a high of only 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 82.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Today, this is Town Hall, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined on this post-holiday Tuesday by the squad, Mr. Luke Mathers and Aaron Zommers. Gentlemen, how was your Labor Day weekend?
It was good, and had a lot of fun up in Door County. Got to hang out with a lot of different family members, and all around excellent weekend. Wasn't too hot up north, but you know.
Speak for yourself, good sir. Speak for yourself.
That's why I said up north, Will. But thank you.
Noted.
Sparked the question, though, of what is up north, and that's a conversation maybe we can have a little bit later today. But I was up on the Door County Peninsula having a good time. What about you, Mr. Zommers?
Well, first of all, the answer to that question is 29. It's not 10. Highway 10 is not up north. You're a liar if you think so.
Okay, so that begs the question. Are different parts of Door County considered up north and other parts are not?
I think it's a rough guideline.
Okay.
At least that's my opinion. I don't think it is a strict
line. Wait, you came
line.
Out guns a-blazing on what was and what was not up north, and you sparse that back a little bit.
All right,
Mr.
there
Thomas.
Are gray areas.
There are gray areas,
but
okay.
Manitowoc and Appleton are not up north.
No.
I'm saying Highway 10 is a no-go.
Okay, fair enough.
Anything further north of my current location is up north, says Aaron.
Well, it's like Green Bay, to me, is not up north. And yeah. Then just north of Green Bay starts Door County, and so it's like I don't know if that necessarily counts as up north, but I was all the way up at Sister and Ellison Bay, Raleigh's Bay. Like, that's where I spent the entire weekend, and that's like the equivalent of Merrill, Wisconsin, which is
definitely
north,
up north.
Yeah, that's north of Wausau, which I would consider up north, but I don't know. That's did you spend the Labor Day weekend up north? Tell us about it. 844-967-2789. That's not the primary question of the day, though. We're gonna, you know, we missed one yesterday. We had an excellent edition of Town Call. Professor John Shelton joined us last Thursday. We were able to share that conversation about labor with everybody on the Labor Day holiday. But back in the swing of things, if you were up north, you can tell us about it. Otherwise, Will, what are we talking about today?
Well, Luke, it is back to school week. At least in my opinion, this is the official, you know, back to school day, the first post Labor Day Tuesday. I know that at least in my neck of the woods, Germantown started on Friday. A lot of parents were not very happy about that. In fact, many simply chose not to attend that day, instead going up north or doing what they were going to do for their Labor Day weekend. Anyways, you'll come back, you'll start school on Tuesday. Could be worse. You could have started on, what, like August 14th, I think?
Something like that.
Determined some of the schools were starting at, which is, I am very, very sorry for those children. But I would like to know what's on your mind, people of Wisconsin, regarding kids returning to the classroom. If you have any excellent back-to-school stories to share, anything along those lines, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Luke, reading over from a piece at Wisconsin Public Radio from last week, Tuesday, This is what's on my mind regarding back to school in the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin private schools object to their finances being made public. Joint Finance Committee opposes DPI proposal to create an online dashboard about school district finances. Wisconsin's private schools are receiving more taxpayer funds than ever before, but a coalition of groups is objecting to that public money being included in an online dashboard about school district finances. Last week, the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee rejected a proposal by the State Department of Public Instruction to include private schools in the dashboard during its 14-day passive review process. Obviously, Luke, this is a hot button issue in the state of Wisconsin right now, particularly regarding voucher schools.
Well, not even just right now, Will. This has been a conversation since the COVID-19 pandemic. Schools have been on the forefront of a lot of public discourse. We've been talking about schools for some time now. And interesting Pew research recently, I want to say it was released either last week or the week before, talking about the gap in between the perception that parents that have students in public schools have that their public schools are doing well, and individuals that are not parents of somebody in a public school thinking those public schools are failing. There is a very interesting diversion between those two groups of people. People actually using public schools and people that don't. And so,
people who are experiencing it versus people who are basing their thought process on what they're seeing or hearing in the media.
Or other sources, yeah, or what their individuals in their family or in their lives are telling them about. So there's an interesting dichotomy there. But we also heard at the start of the pandemic, Will, that all of these school boards, they needed to have their members recalled because there needed to be more transparency in our schools. There needed to be curriculum posted on websites so that parents could see that. It was to empower the parents. And so you're telling me that this piece over at WPR, it's saying that there's hesitation for that transparency?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. GOP bill signed by Tony Evers in 2021 created an 11-member advisory committee and called for a, quote, financial information portal, unquote. This dashboard was designed to give taxpayers easy access to financial information about individual school and school district spending, including the total amount of local, state, and federal funding received, cost per pupil, and how funds are distributed. Of course, during the 2022-2023 school year, private school choice programs received $444 million in taxpayer money, according to state data. But the Wisconsin Coalition for Education Freedom sent a letter to the Joint Finance Committee members on August 21st objecting to the private school spending being included. The letter stated the DPI process for creating the dashboard has been, quote, shrouded in secrecy, delayed, and expanded into areas not included in the legislation, unquote. So to me, it sounds like they're accusing this dashboard of not being transparent in an attempt to not be transparent themselves.
Well, it's interesting that you gotta ask the question. Is the age old adage, you gotta be careful what you wish for. There were groups, this was a GOP authored bill that asked for transparency, and now that transparency is being rolled out, it seems like not everybody wants all of the things involved in
this
dashboard.
Wait, no, not that kind of transparency.
Yeah. it kind of seems like the dog that was chasing the car and didn't know what to do when it actually bit down on the bender, the bumper. There we go. I couldn't think.
Bumper.
Man,
bumper,
it's a Tuesday
fender,
that feels like a Monday. I was struggling with that one there.
Sure which Wednesday of the week this would be. But
it's a situation of a dog catching the car. You know what I was talking about, Will. Mm-hmm. If you've got thoughts on this one, 844-967-2789. Talking back to school here in Wisconsin, a piece over at WPR written up by Corinne Hess for Wisconsin Public Radio, discussing school choice programs not wanting the funds that they receive from the state government to be included on a transparency dashboard. Share your thoughts with us here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. You can also listen to the show on the Civic Media app. You can download it with you, take us here at Civic Media on the go with you wherever you're going. You can download it wherever apps are downloaded on your smart devices, and you can call and text right from the app wherever you're listening, 844-967-2789. I want to hear what your thoughts are. But there's a lot of stories talking about back to school, Will. It is that time of year.
Yeah, no, it is that time of year. And one thing I do want to add additionally regarding the WPR piece, Luke, is the objection to providing information about private school finances comes after the state budget included the largest financial expansion to private school choice in the program's history, meaning Governor Tony Evers and his budget included a what would be, I think, more commonly regarded as a Republican talking point. He gave the financial expansion to the private school choice program and in return expected transparency. And now a lot of these individuals involved in the private school program are essentially saying, like, no, we don't want to include that transparency. That's government overreach. I can't understand the speaking out of both sides of your mouth aspect in this regard.
Well, here in Wisconsin, we have divided government. We have a Republican-led legislature and a Democrat in the governor's mansion. And in that regard, there should be compromise. And it seems like Evers has taken the approach of compromise. But now that there has been compromise passed, it doesn't seem like everybody's thrilled about what it all includes. We want to hear your thoughts on what's on your mind for back to school. And it's not just here with the school choice programs not wanting transparency. We've also got some updates in Milwaukee in regards to the conditions students are facing going back to school and the shortage of rural bus drivers that we have throughout the state of Wisconsin. We're going to get to those headlines, but before we do, let's head over to the phone lines. We've got Ron in Milwaukee calling in right now. Ron, what are your thoughts this back to school season?
Well, it's kind of incredible. I mean, $440 million, if that's the amount I heard, is not chump change. That's a huge amount of money, and almost half a billion dollars. And it's tax money that got forwarded from public coffers to private schools. And the public schools take a hit for that, not a complete hit, but they take a hit for that. And they're struggling in part as a result. So I think, if it's public tax dollars, what's the beef? Why are we saying we shouldn't know where that money went and what it was spent for? And they, you know, if the private schools say, well, we're private, we can't, you know, we don't want anybody disclosing how much we got and what we spent it for. And the answer to that is, well, what do you, you know, how do we, you know, where's the accountability? It's just absurd. And now if Republicans backtrack on this, they're going to have to explain themselves. They're going to have to say, well, we made a deal. Now we're going to go back on the deal because private schools don't want to know how much money they're taking from the taxpayers.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see that $444 million. That's one school year as well, Ron. That's not just half a billion dollars for a extended period of time. That's one school year going to choice schools here in Wisconsin for the 2023. Yes, thank you for catching that, Will. Appreciate the phone call, Ron. You could be like Ron, 844-967-2789. We are talking about back to school here on Town Call on this Tuesday afternoon. We also got Wes in Middleton listening on WMDX using the Civic Media app to text into the show. Where are my fiscal conservatives at? If your school gets our tax money, we get to see how it's getting spent. You can look up any state worker's meager salary online. Why shouldn't the finances of St. Elsewhere School for Jesus? I don't know if that's an actual school. It sounds a little bit more of a little cheeky comment from Wes in Middleton, or any of our fine voucher schools be any different. But Will, it's an interesting point. Talking about being able to see the salaries of state employees, if there is transparency for these school districts, it should include voucher schools as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, Ron was right. If you're getting public funds, you're either accountable to the public or you're a private school and you're not. You can't have it both ways.
Folks, 844-967-2789. Talking back to school, we're going to continue on with the phone callers and some more back to school headlines when Town Call returns. You're listening to us across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be right back. Might as well be walking on the sun.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Images from a trail camera in eastern Pennsylvania give investigators new hope in the hunt for convicted killer Donello Cavalcante, who escaped from prison last week.
Cavalcante has clearly already obtained some clothing and unknown other supplies, and we want to minimize any opportunity to obtain anything more.
Prosecutors want 33 years at sentencing today for Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum expects less than that.
Nearly all of the principal leaders of the January 6th rampage have been convicted of seditious conspiracy, with sentences ranging between 10 to 18 years.
A heat wave is moving from the Midwest into the East. Odyssey New York forecaster Craig Allen keeping tabs on it.
You have concrete and such tall buildings around many of the major cities, temperatures may not get below 80 until after midnight in some of the major cities.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to a WQOW report, local fire officials are hoping to raise money so they can train their team to use rope rescue equipment. Eau Claire Fire Department Chief Bob Haller says the rope rescue system is not frequently used, and when it is used, the situation is frequently high risk. After a rope rescue off Galloway Street in downtown Eau Claire in recent weeks, the fire department wishes to secure funds to train their team to potentially use a rope rescue in the future. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers today shared a video message welcoming students, educators, and parents back to school. Governor Evers has visited 11 school districts across the state as part of a statewide tour and has more visits scheduled throughout the rest of this week. Wisconsin students, parents, and teachers who want to watch the video or read the transcript can find them in a press release on the governor's website. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Nobody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the
welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We're talking back to school today, but first, shout out to Steve Harwell and Smash Mouth, arguably all-star, the anthem of the early 2000s, 90 Babies, give a holler. Steve passed away yesterday at the age of 56. Mm-hmm. Yes, 56. So, best wishes to he and his family. You see the image right there if you're following on StreamYard. I made it down to Shrekfest this weekend, gentlemen. I got my picture taken with Lord Farquaad. Luke made
the joke. Wait, which one's Lord Farquaad?
The short guy with the long hair.
Oh, okay, so it's indistinguishable between the two.
I chose an on the way down.
I chose an uncomfortably long laugh track.
Yeah,
of course.
It's good because that's what it is. You can't tell if you're watching on the stream. Will is like so excited to share this photo, and obviously terrible for a audio medium, which is radio. But if you are following us on social media, you can follow Town Call WI on both Facebook and Twitter, and you can see the excellent photos and the visual graphics that Will likes to share when it comes to his Shrekfest adventures.
Yeah, I was thinking about it on the way down there. I was like, boy, like, I have everything in place already to be Lord Farquaad. If I just, like, dressed up as a pompous king and put on a big red hat or something, like, I could play the Lord Farquaad role. My hair is a little too brown. I might have to dye it a little darker if I wanted to really, really encapsulate the Farquaad image. But, I was regretting that. As I was pulling in, I was like, boy, I could have pulled off a good cosplay here. I dropped the ball. Luckily, this gentleman had me covered, so he had my back with an even better version.
There you go. All-Star, probably playing a lot of places today, yesterday, and for the next couple. It's one of those, like you mentioned, anthems that you turn it on, everybody from the 90s, early 2000s, everybody knows that one. So you ventured down to Shrekfest, really. How long were you there?
About 90 minutes, I'd say. I went to the after party down at the arcade, and I was just asking, you know, how was it today? Was it busy? And, dude, people were like, yeah, this was the best Shrek Fest we've ever had. One gentleman estimated 4,000 to 5,000 people were there. He has been there for years at a time, and he was like, yeah, this was the busiest it's ever been. It was so much fun to get down here.
I'm a little disappointed that you weren't all green. That's what I was half expecting when you told me you had a photo from Shrekfest to share.
I mean, I can't be Shrek and Lord Farquaad. I got to pick and choose.
I think that there's probably plenty of combination characters there. You could have been any character you wanted to be, Will. Don't put yourself in a box like that. Come on.
I saw the fairy godmother. I saw three blind mice. I saw, obviously, Shrek and Fiona and Donkey were popular. Boy, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities. That's an excellent, excellent movie. I should have went as the gingerbread man. Would have been the one.
Sure. Next year. There's always
next
year,
Have you never
year,
seen
Will.
Shrek?
I have seen Shrek, but I'm just saying.
His name is Gingy.
Gingy. Yeah, Gingy.
There's always next year,
The one
who
looks year, Will. On
Drury, right? Yeah, Drury. Come on. Have you seen the movie? You don't even know where the gingerbread man lives.
I've seen both of the movies.
Folks,
that's where the Muffin Man lives, Luke.
Yeah, that's where the Muffin Man lives.
That's where he lives too. Yes, Drury Lane. That's where. Okay.
Shrek 1 and 2 are classics, and actually, that was going to be my cold opening question of the day, Luke. Is what I was going to say. What is the greatest intro in cinema history, and why is it the original Shrek? But then I was like, Luke doesn't understand anything about film. He's not going to be able to participate in this conversation.
No, I didn't want to subject the listeners to this long of a conversation to lead off the show with Shrek. But we are talking back to school here on Town Call. If you want to share your thoughts on what's going through your mind with this back to school season, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. You can do so over phone call or text. And if you've got a little anything else you want to add about our conversation about what is up north, Wes and Middleton, the final little tidbit of his text earlier was, by the way, up north is Highway 29. So that's Wes's 2 cents on that side debate we're having here on Town Call. 844-967-2789. Let's head over to the next headline for this back-to-school season. Before we return to the phone calls, I want to squeeze this one in, Will. Over at TMJ in Milwaukee, Milwaukee Public Schools students, MPS students, will be heading back to school on Tuesday with temperatures in the 90s. For Angela Harris, a first grade teacher in the district and the chairwoman of the Black Educators Caucus, it will be the third school year in a row she's had to prepare for keeping her students and herself cool during a heat wave. The last 2 years have seen school cancellations because of the heat, and for early start students, there have already been 2 cancellations related to extreme heat. Quote, I definitely flash back immediately to last school year. There were a couple of days when we're getting close to 95 degree threshold, Harris said. She said she thought she brought fans and a cooler of water bottles into her classroom last year and keep the windows open. Still, it didn't help, for every single scholar in the classroom had their head down on the table because it was so hot, Harris recalled. MPS notably, as of 2021, just 17% of school buildings were fully equipped with air conditioning. So when you and I were kicking back and forth saying that it was a back-to-school season, this was one of the first headlines that jumped to the top of my thought, because going to school, going back to school in temperatures of 90-plus degrees and not having AC, that feels like a headline straight out of the mid-1900s, not 2023.
It's not very conducive for a good learning environment, Luke. And data backs that up. A study from the American Economic Association found that when classrooms are 75 degrees or warmer, it reduces that year's learning by 1%. The learning loss from heat is 3 times as impactful for Black and Hispanic students. That's 75 degrees, right? We're hitting 95 and higher today. In fact, Luke, quite literally today, yesterday, MPS said it will dismiss students early on Tuesday, which is today, due to the extreme heat, and very possible that we're going to see that tomorrow and Thursday as well, as we're expecting a couple more scorchers.
Yeah, it's conditions that you absolutely have to keep an eye on. School districts throughout the state are, but 17%, that's like 1 in 6 school buildings for Milwaukee Public Schools being equipped. That means 5 out of 6 not equipped with AC.
I think we should link this to Shrek Fest and say that you could say those schools are like his swamp and they're too swampy and you're supposed to stay out of Shrek's swamp, so we should keep the swamps out of the schools. That's a bit of a stretch.
Yes. I wasn't going to reject the premise immediately, Aaron, because I have too much respect for you. So I instead just decided to play along.
Thanks for playing along with my terrible analogy.
Yeah, I think we should just in 2023 have AC in all of our schools. I feel like that's a pretty bare minimum to ask. But
yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Remember, we saw this on the West Coast. Was it last year as well? In Seattle, for example, where most residential buildings didn't have AC either. But when they went through that massive heat wave, people were unprepared. Pets were dying. Humans were dying because we didn't have the ability to keep ourselves safe and cool indoors.
Yeah, it's just the headlines you wouldn't believe to be reading here in 2023. But that is the case here back to school. You can share your thoughts on what's on your mind with this back to school season here on Town Call. We want to hear them. 844-967-2789. We got Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind this Tuesday afternoon?
Well, first of all, let me give you my perspective. My background, rather, for my perspective. I'm retired now, but I taught for over 40 years in schools in Wisconsin and Minnesota. I taught at levels from 6th grade up to sophomore university level, and I taught in public, private, and parochial schools. I term the money that we are giving to so-called school choice welfare to private schools. Term school choice is terribly misleading. At least one of the private schools that I taught at, they would not deal with people that had special needs, so basically choice means that the school gets to choose who they accept and who they don't. Of course, private schools brag, well, our graduation rates are higher than the public schools. Well, yeah, you don't have to take everybody. You can choose.
You pick and choose your students.
The better students. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So guess what? Yes, you do have a higher graduation rate. It seems to me pretty outrageous that our legislature saw fit to give $3,000 more per student to private schools, And then they allow public schools through referenda to raise an additional $300 per student. Of course, Governor Evers put that at a 400-year limit. But the point is, the public schools have to raise their money through referenda, but the private schools are getting it out of our state government through the surplus. For the case of just the situation that you just referred to, the public schools, so many of them do not have air conditioning. The last place I taught at for 10 years was a public school, and we only got AC in the last, I think, 4, maybe 5 years that I was there in the whole whole school. That was a high school. To have a situation where the private schools, or at least their Republican minions, say, well, we don't want you to know how this money is being spent, that is absolutely outrageous. If last year's private school welfare was $400 and some odd million, additionally $3,000 per student, you know it's going to be past $500 million this year. Something's got to be done about this. And I personally, after the experiences I've had, I think it's time to phase out the two-level educational system we have and go back to schools that serve everyone. So there's
interesting, interesting point, Jack. No, and thank you for sharing with us. There were a couple of things that I really want to touch on based on what Jack said. When he noted two-tiered system of education, what does that remind me of? It reminds me of the two-tiered system of justice we also see in the United States, where the wealthy are apparently unaccountable to the system, while those who don't have the money to defend themselves properly fall to the wayside. And he also noted that schools, you know, when they say school choice or voucher schools, it's the schools that have the choice, not necessarily the parents. The schools get to pick and choose which students they want to have. What does that remind you of, Luke? Reminds me of right to work, that it's the right for the employers to have you work with them and they can terminate you for whatever you want. It's using semantics to try to, like, place the burden on the individual rather than on our communities, giving the benefit of the doubt to the entity rather than the working class Americans. And I think that's backwards.
Well, and a lot of times you hear arguments against being able to fund school districts by saying, well, you can't throw money at every problem and fix it. You want to know what problem could be fixed with money? Having an AC system. Air conditioning is fundamentally one of those problems that could be solved with proper funding. You can put in AC. Like that's what it, as simple as it boils down to, in my opinion. And we've got somebody listening here on in Madison on WMDX, Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, saying, my high school did not have air conditioning. I'm 46 years old. Yeah, there were portions of the high school that I went to that was getting renovated, and the old quote-unquote part of the school didn't have AC either, but it's something that absolutely should be updated, and it should be a priority of these districts, especially when we're seeing more and more 90-degree days kicking off school. Folks, we're talking back to school here on Town Call. We're going to get some more back to school headlines, your phone calls, and Will's going to catch me up with what I missed on the Friday news dump or the weekend news dump, whatever we want to call it. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We have one more hot, sticky day to go before things really cool down tomorrow. Today, partly cloudy, 92 our high this afternoon, and then we do have a chance of thunderstorms late this afternoon into tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Our low tonight, 65. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, an isolated thunderstorm in the morning. Much cooler with a high of only 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 85.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Luke, catching you up on some Friday and or headlines, weekend headlines. Jimmy Buffett as well, passing away September 1st. A legend in the music industry, to put it mildly. Margaritaville, Cheeseburger in Paradise, these are arguably some of the most famous, you know, lounge, beach type atmosphere songs in existence, anthems, if you will, to the summer living style of Jimmy Buffett's music. Born Christmas Day of 1946, James William Buffett passing away Friday night into Saturday at the age of 76.
Yeah, it's a James. You never think of his name as James, though, because he's always Jimmy Buffett. So,
because it's the difference between like lounging on a beach being in a courtroom or something.
I get it. Not a big parrot head myself, but I know that there's a lot of parrot heads out there. And so, yeah, his passing, losing a lot of musical icons in recent weeks. So it is definitely. I saw plenty of people toasting their margaritas to Jimmy Buffett over the weekend. So that tribute getting paid in across social media for Mr. Buffett. And
arguably, Luke, one of the great cameos in American history, too. I don't know if you were aware, but have you seen the new Jurassic World trilogy?
No, I have not. I think I might have seen the first one, but I don't think I've seen any of the follow-ups to make it a trilogy.
So in the first one, actually, when all of the pterodactyls or whatever the, you know, large flying creatures get released and they're all swooping down and picking people up off the boardwalk, you see an old gentleman stand up with two margaritas, quick turn and run away, okay, but making sure not to spill his margaritas, and it was, in fact, Jimmy Buffett.
There you go. I mean,
it's very brief. It's legitimately like 2.5 seconds, but that's why I think it's hilarious.
Stan Lee's cameos are probably a lot better in all of the Marvel movies, so I don't know if you're going to say...
No, Stan Lee's cameos are expected. It's part of the shtick. They're expected.
But they're better cameos, too.
But they're also excessive. They're like, here's the plot of the movie. The movie is going along.
Hello, everybody. It is Stan Lee. Make sure you're looking. He's here for 5 seconds.
Stop it. No, it's...
And also,
I still appreciate that. Like, I'm just saying, it's not subtle.
He's also part of the franchise. Like, I don't know if you could even call it a cameo in the sense that, like,
it is.
This is his work.
Stop it. No, but it's a cameo.
It's not taking somebody unrelated and just, like throwing Jimmy Buffett carrying two margaritas into a Jurassic World movie. Like, he has nothing to do with that. He's there just because it's hilarious for 2.5 seconds.
Okay. Okay, Will.
This is a hill I will die on, Luke.
Whatever.
We will have this argument until I'm red in the fit now.
By all means, I'm already seeding the argument. Fine. Whatever. You can die on that hill. Folks, 844-967-2789. We're talking back to school and a bunch of side rants that Will is having on this Monday that Tuesday that feels like a Monday edition of Town Call. One of the other headlines back to school over at Wisconsin Public Radio. This one will also a major problem, along with the fact of not being able to have air conditioning in roughly five out of six public school buildings for Milwaukee Public Schools. This one just shows you the problem that our school districts around the state are facing. As kids return to school, a shortage of bus drivers remains a challenge for Wisconsin districts. An estimated average of 15 to 20% of driver positions are unfilled statewide. And so, again, this just gets back to we have problems to face and problems to address here in the state of Wisconsin. And it doesn't seem like they're getting the attention that they need to. And so not only are kids returning to classrooms that are not the adequate temperature, we're having a hard time just safely getting kids to school because we do not have enough drivers to get them there on school buses.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the snowbirds are going to do anything to fix this problem, Luke, but yeah, Wisconsin is desperately in need of workers to fill these roles. And I have to tap the sign again on the Simpsons joke, right? It's not that nobody wants to work anymore. It's that nobody wants to work for you anymore. If you want these roles filled, you have to make offers that entice people to fill them.
Well, that's the problem. You're referencing snowbirds and an aging workforce, regulatory hurdles, and misconceptions about the job are all likely contributing factors in the shortage. Although the need varies around the state, the Wisconsin School Bus Association estimates 15 to 20% of driver jobs remain unfilled. Marty Cluckless, general manager of student transit in Eau Claire, said the stigma of working with school children can dissuade potential drivers. The majority of folks I talk to say, I could never do that, and I was one of those guys, Marty said. But you know what? You get behind the wheel, you start impacting and having a positive influence on those little humans, and you go, ah, this is pretty groovy. I really dig this. And so I guess stigma working with children on school buses? I don't know that they're too rowdy, that they're too sticky. I don't know what the stigma would be. But apparently some thoughts into back to school and not wanting to work with students, children, maybe preventing the school bus shortage, according to that individual in Eau Claire.
Yeah, Luke, and I want to offer a bit of a correction, too. Thank you to Matt from Germantown on texting in, noting the weather forecast for the coming days. I had my Mondays and Tuesdays mixed up. Tomorrow is going to be hot again, real feel of 85, but by Thursday it's going to cool off. So today and yesterday were the two hot days. Obviously, school was not in session yesterday anyways with the Labor Day holiday.
Yes. They may have made kids go back on September 1st, but they did not force them back into the schools for Labor Day, Will. But one other thing from the weekend news dump that I missed, because, you know, I was out in the woods camping over the weekend, up north, in my opinion, for the Door County Peninsula, did not get a chance to tune in for the fantasy football draft that you participated in here, part of Civic Media. Catch me up, Will. Who's our starting roster? And I'm going to be critical. I'm going to grade you because although I may not have been tuned in for that fantasy football draft, I know a little this or that about fantasy football.
Quick moderator note: this does not count as Will's mention of fantasy football.
Nope, I brought
for the
it up.
Week.
That's fair. I brought it up. I understand. He's catching me up.
Yeah, this so team Town Ball in, Luke, I got your back. We drafted from the sixth hole this week. 10-team league, I wanted to focus on the 1Z positions, really give us a big positional advantage there. We went with Travis Kelce at the 106. Filling out our starting roster is Saquon Barkley, Alexander Mattison at the running back position, A.J. Brown and Mike Williams at wide receiver, and Lamar Jackson will be our starting quarterback.
All right, and which defense do we get to acquire?
Defense, we got Cowboys defense because they Cowboys? Start. Right. They have a good early season schedule. Certainly, starting with the Giants week one should be advantageous. I also snagged us Justin Herbert to be our backup quarterback, so I want to control that position.
There you go, and our kicker.
That doesn't matter. Fantasy football should get rid of all kickers, but it's Jake Elliott from the Eagles.
All right, folks. If you missed any portion of this edition of Town Call, check out the podcast. You can tune in tomorrow, 12:15. Maybe Will give a fantasy football update, but we'll be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Foundation area. Yeah, tune in then to find out. We'll be back.
Take it easy, party people.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.